Today's shir is Masechta Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Yud Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara of Amar Rava Ba Bachasha Amar Chuma Ba Gurya Amar Rav. Lo'olam Yachaz Odav Yesha Be'ir She Yishivasa Krayvay. If a person has a choice of where to live, he should try to live in a city that has not been inhabited for so long. Because it's more recently inhabited, there are less averis to be concerned about that city. And Chazal teaches that HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifra me'uma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take judgment against people until they did all the averis for which they deserve punishment. So that city is more likely to be spared. And the Miri explains. The Miri says, L'chatchila, a person should live in a city of tzaddikim to avoid learning from the behavior of the Rishoyim. But if there are no places like that in the world, so it's better, says our Gemara, to live in a city that hasn't become so ingrained in Averis, which will spare them from being punished. Says the Gemara, Shinemar, as the Pasuk says, when Lot spoke to the Malachim, when they took him out of Stoim before the city was overturned, Hine noi ir azois krova lo nasham v'hi mitzar. My krova, says the Gemara, what did Lot mean by saying that this city is closer? Elaim Makrova de Makarva, that it's close by Vizuta, and it's not such a big city, so it doesn't make a difference if they survive or don't survive. Vakachazale, the Malachim did not need Lot to point that out to them. Ella, Mitarchi Shivasa Krova, it hasn't been in existence as long, it has less averis. Amar Avav and Mikra, how do we know that this is the pshat from the Pasuk? The Ksib, because it says in the Pasuk, Imolta no Shama. Lot asked the Malachim, let me escape to that city. Nor we know is Gematria 51. And how long was Sodom in existence? Chamisha Trey, 52 years. V'shalvasa, and how long did Stoim live in tranquility? Esrim v'sheish, 26 years. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Shtei mas rishona ovdu, Sodom and Amora, Adma, Tzvoim and Bela, worked for Kedaloima, and then Shloisa rishona mardu, then they rebelled, Obaiva as rishona in the 14th years. So we see that out of the 26 years, there were 26 years that they were at war, and after the 26 years of war, that's when they came to tranquility. So that was the entire existence of Sodom. But that 1 year of difference that Sodom had over Tsoyar, that this was 51 years old, and this was 52 years old, made such a significant difference. Any city whose roof, the roof of the city, of buildings in the city are taller than the Beis HaKnesses, l'soif chareva. At the end, that city will not be able to exist. It will be destroyed. If you raised the shul, then you will not worry about it getting destroyed, says the Gemara. But the Gemara qualifies this halacha. V'hanimil bebatim, it's only houses where people dwell. Alba kashkushi vavruri, they used to have towers and buildings that were only there for decoration. They didn't really serve as dwellings. Leslamba, we're not concerned. Amar Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi comments, Ano avdi l'mas mechasi d'loy charva, I was the one that saved Mas Mechasya from being destroyed, says the Gemara. For Chava, Actually, Mas Mechashe was destroyed. Answers the Gemara, was destroyed. However, Ma'isa Oven Leichavre, it wasn't destroyed because of that sin, because he made sure that no building in the city was taller than the Beis HaKnesses. Some explain it's because of a Bezoyim Beis HaKnesses. And therefore, since it's a Bezoyim Beis HaKnesses, we understand the halacha that if it's not used for a dwelling purpose, it doesn't really make that much of a difference. Others say that the reason is because of covered Beis HaKnesses. It's respectful that the Beis HaKnesses should be the tallest city, tallest building in the city. However, certainly in a city where people work on the roof, we have to be careful that the roof of those buildings should not be taller than the roof of the Beis HaKnesses. Because there are many that say the fact that our Gemara focuses, says the Sfas Emes, on Gagoseha, we see there's a special concern that there about the roof being taller than all the roof of the shul being taller. The Magen Avraham points out in Siman Kuf Nun Sifkaten Beis, and the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Nun Sifkaten Hei quotes that Magen Avraham, that this is only when you have a city that's inhabited by Jews. But it, when Klal Yisrael is unfortunately living Bein Umas HaOlam, so they do whatever they want, this halacha doesn't apply. Furthermore, says the Ritva, that the concern that our Gemara says that the shul should be taller is only in a city that's on a flat land. So if you have a city on a flat land, so there the shul should be the tallest building. But if you have a city that's on a mountain, so some are taller than others, some buildings are taller than others, not because they're actually taller, it's just because the land on which the shul is built is not flat, then doesn't have the same halacha. The Marik says there's a very important lesson to be learned from our Gemara. Because the pasuk that the Gemara quoted, L'Roimim Beis Elokeinu, is a pasuk regarding the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara, however, is speaking about regular shuls. From here we see that a regular shul is a Mikdash Ma'at and deserves the type of respect that the Beis HaMikdash deserved. And as the Rosh explains, that why are we focused only if the buildings that are taller than are used for dwelling, but not if they're just there for ornamentation? So says the Rosh that it's inappropriate to work in a place that's taller than the Beis HaKnesses. But if it's a building that's not used for living and working and offices, then we don't have to be that concerned. There also, the Ran and the Meiri also say that if there's buildings that were built only to protect the city as a fortress, so then it's much less of a concern. Rav Ashi said, sort of boasted, that Mas Mechasya wasn't destroyed because he made sure that there should be no building of Mas Mechasya taller than the shul. And then the Gemara says that what happened was it wasn't destroyed because of that Aveira, but it was ultimately destroyed. So what's the difference? What's the reason it was destroyed? So the Bechar Shar explains that when Rav Ashi said, Ano Avdil Mas Mechasya Delay Charva, that the Churban shouldn't be a Churban forever. And as the Bechar Shah explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, also HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring back Batei Tzadikim liYeshuvan. So Gemara Masech the Brachos Daf Nun Chesom Abeis, that the homes of the Tzadikim will come back to their glory. So if the city is destroyed, says the Bechar Shah, because the buildings were taller than the shul, that city has no future. But if the city was destroyed for a different Aveira, it has a future that, as the Gemara says, that the Batei Tzadikim will come back li Yeshuva. Continues the Gemara. Rama Rava b'machasu amram chum b'gari amarav. tachas Yishmol v'loy tachas Nachri. If you need to work for an Akum, it's better to work for an Akum who's from Yishmol and not for a different type of Akum from Edom, because the people from Edom are particularly big Rishoyim. Tachas Nachri. It's better to work for somebody from Edom than noy tachas Chabor. Not to work for somebody from the Chabors. The Chabors are people who descended from the Persians, who are particularly mean. Tachas Chabor loy tachas Tamid Chachamim. And if you have to work, it's better to work for an Akum than to work for a Talmud Chacham. Because inevitably, when you work for somebody, you're not always going to get along with your boss. And if you're not treating the Talmud Chacham properly, so now you're already dealing with a very serious avera of lack of kavod Talmud Chacham. And therefore, as the Ben Yoyada explains, when somebody starts up with a Talmud Chacham, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Beis Din Shemala, takes very serious note of what happened. And therefore you should try to avoid that. Then says the Gemara, Tachs Talmud Chacham, if you have to work, work for nobody else, work for the Talmud Chacham, v'loy tachas Yosem v'almona. Not to work for Yosem v'almona. Because as the Pasuk says, Kim Tzoyk Shmoy Eshma, that if the Yosem and the Almona cry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears. So we have to be extremely careful when we work for such individuals. And who could be certain that they could be careful enough to work for such people without causing them any aggravation? Continues the Gemara of Amar Rav Bamachasya, Amar Rav Chama Bagurya, Amar Rav. Kol Choyli. If a person, Nebuch, has to be sick, the better V'loy Choyli Me'ayim, not to have to deal with a stomach ailment. Stomach ailments are particularly bad. And as the Mashal explains, it's very hard to heal such a disease. The Mashal says, in Masechta Erevin, very interesting pshat. He says that we know that when somebody is mevakeh choyle, when somebody comes to visit a person who's sick, they take away a shishim, a 60th of his disease. Says the Mashal, but people who are unfortunately suffering from a stomach ailment or from a headache don't get visitors. The headache, the people who have a headache, it's hard to talk to them because every word, it gives them a bigger headache. The person with a stomach ailment, also, it's not, the smell in the room may not be that pleasant, etc. So they don't have guests. If they don't have guests, they don't have anybody to take away from the machla. Kol kev, v'loy kev lev. If somebody has to have a ache, it shouldn't be in the heart. Kol mechish, v'loy mechish roish. He shouldn't have a headache. Karov v'loy yishara. If somebody has to suffer, he shouldn't suffer from having a difficult wife. So I saw the Mefarshim say, was pshat, kol mechish v'loy mechish roish. If a person, the person that have different desires in life. So the Gemara says, kol mechish, you can have every desire in life, but like mechish haroish. Don't have a desire in life that you have to be the head, you have to be in charge. Because that's a type of a covet, and a type of a covet is not something that a Talmud Chacham should want to have. So the Meiri explains on this Gemara, kol ro v'loy ishara. Says the Meiri that when a person looks for a wife, he has to look at a lot of different characteristics. But the most important thing a person should look for is for a wife who has good midas, who has good behavior, because like that, it'll be easy to live with her. Anything else will make it much difficult to live with such an individual. And obviously goes the other way as it goes the other way as well. A man that you look for should be a person of sterling midas. If all the oceans of the world were ink, agamim klamosim, and all the reeds were pens, the shemayim arias, and the heavens were paper to write on, were parchment to write on, the kabbanei adam lavlerin, and all the people in the world were scribes who could write, ein kol elu maspikim, all of this together cannot write adequately b'chalola sherishos. How deep we have to understand how difficult it is to run a government. Because there's so many decisions that need to be made and so much intelligence must be applied to make the right decision. That's Rashi's pshat. The Miri says, what pshat in our Gemara is, that it says in Pirkei Avos, Ham mispal b'shloim shel malchus. We have to daven for the welfare of the government. So says the Gemara, why do we have to daven for the welfare for government? Because we see how much siyata d'shmai they need to be successful. The Sfas Emes says, well, we have to understand that since it's so difficult to run a government, and at the end of the day, a person who runs the government is still just a boss of a dom, how we have to understand how it's so impossible to do this job. And Duran, taking this a point, takes this a step further. He says that's why a person should not want to go into such a profession, because we see how difficult it is. Says the Gemara, Mikra, where do we see this in a pasuk? Amram Shansha Shemaim Larum. We look at the height of the Shemaim, Varetz L'Oimik, and the depth of the earth, V'Lei Melachim Ein Cheker. It's impossible to determine the depth of government. Amram Machasya. A person, Nebuch, had a bad dream. The best thing to nullify that bad dream is a fast, just like flax is very flammable. So too, the Tanis has the ability to destroy the bad dream. However, says the Chassidim, Sefer Chassidim, that's only if you do with the Tanis tshuva. Fasting without tshuva doesn't really do the trick. Moreover, says the Rashba, that even though our Gemara is telling us how effective a fast is to destroy a bad dream, that doesn't mean that there's a chiyuv to fast if you had a bad dream. And as the Mishnah Berurah seems to say as well, the main thing you have to do is the tshuva. Amar Rav Chisda, but when is the fast effective? Uboy b'yoyim, the day you had the dream. V'amar Rav Yosef, afilu b'Shabbos, even if it means fasting on Shabbos. So, the Bi'ah Halacha already asks, how can we allow somebody to fast on Shabbos? Doesn't the pasuk say the karasal Shabbos oynig? So the Torah explains that since this individual unfortunately had this bad dream, fasting is for him an oinig Shabbos, because he knows that's how he's nullifying his bad dream. So the Torah explains that on Shabbos, we're supposed to have an oinig Shabbos. Whatever brings us an oinig Shabbos, that's what we should do. So if fasting brings you oinig Shabbos, that's what you should do. Dor Shemeach has a different approach. Dor Shemeach says, quotes the Mabit, that if a person had a bad dream at night, so he ate the Friday night suda. So it's just during the day he's not going to eat. And since he ate at night and just not eating by day, it's not considered that he fasted the entire Shabbos. Others explain that fasting for a dream, for a bad dream, is like pikuach nefesh. And we know that halach is that you're allowed to do whatever you need to do in a situation of pikuach nefesh. Normally, when you fast, if it's not one of the tanesim, you have to be makabel tainus the day before. But points out the Ritva, that for tainus chaloim, which we're discussing in our Gemara, there is no requirement to have, there is no requirement to be makabel tanis before you fast. Also, he says that this, that our Gemara is allowing somebody who fasted to, somebody who had a bad dream on Shabbos to fast, says the Ritva, it's only if the dream was on Friday night and now you're fasting because of that bad dream. But to fast on Shabbos for a dream that you had before Shabbos, or night before Shabbos, of course, that isn't permissible. Says the Gemara, Rav Yishuv bar Eider, Rav Idi, Ikla lebei Rav Ashi. Rav Yishuv bar Eider came to the home of Rav Ashi, Ovlai Igel Tulsa, and they made for him an Igel Tulsa. There's two pshatim. One pshat that Rashi suggests here is that it was the third calf born to this mother. And the calf that's the third born to its mother is the healthiest and the best. In Masechet Erevin, Rashi has a different pshat. In Masechet Erevin, Rashi explains that Igel Tulsa is a calf that grew to a third of its full potential. That is the half, that is the type of Igel which is best. Amalei, let them I made this. So they asked him, join us in the meal. Amalehu, betanas yisivnin. I'm going to fast, and because I'm fasting, I'm not able to eat. So the Rishonim make two very important points. They say normally if somebody's doing something like fasting, he's doing something commendable, you're not supposed to advertise it. Why did he advertise it? Because he had no other way of explaining why he doesn't want to join in their meal. The other point that the Rishonim discuss is when is a person obligated to complete his fast if he started fasting and he now has a reason to stop. So some Rishonim say, even if a person didn't accept a specific day as a fast day, the halacha is that once you began fasting, you have to fast that day. The Rashba takes the other extreme. He says, even if you identified a specific day that you're going to fast, if you have a reason, you could, in the middle of the fast day, say, okay, I'll make it up another day. But most Rishonim, that's the opinion of the Rambam and the Rosh, says if you accepted a specific day, that that's the day you're going to fast, then you have to finish, you have to fast that day. If, however, you didn't specify a special day, and now you have a reason to break your fast and make it up on another day, you may. Ask the Rabbi, Savalei Malah Hadar of Yehuda, Adam of Yehuda, Loive Adam Tanisa Pereya, Amalei Tanas Chaloim Hu. This was a Tanas Chaloim. Varavab Machasi Amarav Chacham Vaguya Marav. Yof a Tanas L'Chaloim. A Tanas is great to nullify the bad dream. Keshlo Nahuris, like fire touching flax. However, Amarav Chizbay B'Yoyim. And Amarav Yosef, Afilu B'Shabbos. But the halacha is, if you fast on Shabbos for a bad dream, you have to make it up. And the halacha is, you have to make it up as soon as possible, preferably on Sunday, that you have to fast to make up for the fast day that you shouldn't have fasted on Shabbos. There's interesting shaila in the Paiskim. What is if that Sunday is a fast day? That day is already a fast day anyway. Could you kill two birds with one stone? We learned in the Mishnah, in Meschila, that if somebody began one of the activities which he shouldn't have once the Zman Mincha came, then Ein Mafsikin. But then the Mishnah said, Ein Mafsikin L'Krishma. One has to stop for Krishma, but he doesn't stop for Tefillah. Ask the Gemara, Hatana Le'Resha. Why does the Mishnah have to repeat itself that you don't stop what you're doing for Tefillah? The Mishnah began with Ein Mafsikin. Answers the Gemara, Sefer Oslo de Torah. The Sefer is coming to teach us the halacha of somebody who's learning. The Tanya, Chaverim Shai Oiskim B'Torah, Tamid Chama who learning Torah, Mafsikin L'Krishma, they have to stop to say Krishma, they Mafsikin L'Tfilah, but they don't stop for davening. Am Rabbi Yochanan, however qualifies Rabbi Yochanan, that didn't says, Lo Shanal Kagan Shimon Ben Yochai V'Chaverim. When is there a halacha that somebody doesn't stop his learning? It's only if somebody is on the madrega of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. What was special about Rav Shimon ben Yochai? He was an individual who was Tarasai Himnasai. His entire life was learning Torah. So such an individual doesn't have to stop. Ava Kagod Anu, regular people, they have to stop. Mafsikin L'Krishma L'Tfilah. And the reason is as follows. Even though there's halacha of oisik b'mitzvah, potim in a mitzvah. If somebody's doing a mitzvah, he doesn't have to do another mitzvah. Say the mefarshim. That's by all mitzvahs. You only can do one mitzvah at a time. And the halacha is, oisik b'mitzvah is potim in a mitzvah. However, what is the purpose of our learning Torah? The purpose of our learning Torah is to be able to fulfill mitzvahs. So if we're not going to interrupt our learning to fulfill mitzvahs, then what are we accomplishing with our learning? And therefore, when it comes to mitzvahs Talmud Torah, the Meiri explains, there is no halacha of oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, Batanya, but then the Brisa says, Kshem Shem Asikin L'Tfilo, Kaf Em Asikin L'Krishma, even those whose Tarasa and Masai, the halacha is, you have to be mafsik. And says, the Gemara Kihet Tanya Hibe Ibishana. When it comes to the time that they were making, deciding if the year should be a leap year, Dan Rav Adabar Hav V'Chentona Sabi De Agrayna, Amar Rav Lozber Rav Tzadik, Kshina Oiskim Bet Ibra Hashana B'Yavna, when we would learn Ibishana, do Ibishana in Yavna, Layan Mafsik and Layla Krishna Latfila. We didn't stop for anything. So that's what we, in such a situation, we don't stop for anything because the Ibishana is Tzarche Arabim. And since it's Tzarche Arabim, it has a special rule that that comes first. Says the Mishnah. Layetza Chayit B'machtoi. A tailor should now walk out of his home Erev Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah paskens that means and half an hour before Bein Hashmashos. For we're concerned, Shema Yishkech V'yetzei. He should accidentally walk out from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus Rabim after Shabbos begins carrying this needle. And the same halacha applies for a sofer carrying his pen. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger explains, why does the Mishnah have to talk about the tailor and about the sofer? Isn't that all the same? Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that a needle is not that noticeable. And since a needle is not that noticeable, that's why we're concerned that you may end up walking out with it. But maybe a pen, which is much more noticeable, a person would not make that error, teaches us the Mishnah that even by a pen, we need to be concerned about that. We have to be concerned at that error. So I saw that Tysus asks a question. If somebody walks out this way, he's a Masasik. He didn't intend to walk out that way. And if you didn't intend to walk out that way, and you're Masasik, it's not really Chil Shabbos. So why is our Mishnah making this special gezeirah? So I saw that the Kotzke Rebbe says a very important point. He says, we find by Pesach that the Torah was so much stricter when it comes to chametz by Pesach that even a mashu of chametz is asur, something that we don't find in any other time during the year. Why was the Torah so makbid there about a mashu? Normally, we know that the shear is a shishim. All of a sudden here we find that we have to be worried about a mashu. So the Kotzker explains, we know that in a Pesach, it's when we became HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation. And there's a special importance, says the Kotzker Rebbe, when you begin something. When you begin something, you have to begin it in the most proper way possible. So that's Pshat in our Mishnah. Yes, technically, somebody who carries something out on Shabbos is a Masasik. This way would be a Masasik. But this is the way you're beginning the Shabbos. It's Samuch HaKashaycha. It's as Shabbos begins. As Shabbos begins, we have to be careful to do it in the most proper manner. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, for lo yafles kalev, a person shouldn't check his garments if there are any lice there. For lo yikra, b'lor haner. And somebody shouldn't read by candlelight on Friday night because we're concerned that the person will manipulate the oil if the candle's starting to go out. Melacha havara. Bemis Amru, Avaha Chazal said, and the Mefarshim asked that normally throughout Shas, when it says the words Bemis Amru to Halach Lamashim Sinai, here it's clearly not a Halach Lamashim Sinai. So why does the Gemara use the wording Be'emes Amru? So he says that Be'emes Amru, the Mishnah is trying to teach us how important this halach is, that we have to be careful. However, the Marshag teaches us, in the Shas Tshuvas Marshag, Simen Chof Tes, that we who live by candlelight don't live with candlelight. We live with electric lights. And then more, and especially if you have a lamp that has more than one bulb, this halacha doesn't apply. So we taught, Hachazin Roya Heichen Tenoikus Koirin. So the posh pshat is, the chazan is the gabbai of the shul. And the gabbai of the shul is allowed to watch how the children are reading from Chumash, to know where the aliyahs are for tomorrow. Or another pshat is that the chazan here means the Rebbe who's learning with the Talmidim. And the Rebbe who's learning with the Talmidim is allowed to watch them learn, because there he's not really studying, and we don't have to worry that he's going to be matas and there. Why are we not concerned that the children will not manipulate the lamp? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is because they're scared of their Rebbe. They don't want that their Rebbe should get upset at them that they're touching the lamp when they're supposed to be sitting in the seats. Another pshat I saw is, why are we concerned that somebody is going to touch the lamp? The reason we're concerned that somebody's going to touch the lamp because he wants to have more light, to have more time to read. The children aren't interested in staying in yeshiva. They're very anxious that the lamp should go out and that they should be able to go out and play. But even though we were just lenient, the halacha is of a hola yikra. He shouldn't read la'or haner, the chazan or the melamed. Kiyotzba, the same halacha applies. Nothing to do with Shabbos, where we see Chazal were concerned. La'yoychel hazavim hazava. If there's a couple, a married couple, who are zav zava, the halacha is that they may not have relations. So we want to be concerned that they shouldn't get too close, so they shouldn't eat at the same table, b'nei harigal aveira, unless they put something on the table to constantly remind them what is their status. Says the Gemara Tanan Hossam, we learned in a Mishnah, in Masechta Ervin, lo yamir adam b'rishus ha-yochid v'yishta b'rishus ha-rabim. A person may not stand in b'rishus ha-yochid and drink in b'rishus ha-rabim, or vice versa, he may not stand in b'rishus ha-rabim v'yishta b'rishus ha-yochid. Avam hechnas roisha v'rubay l'mokam shu shaysa. But if he puts his head and most of his body into the domain where he's drinking, then it's mutter. Even though it may be a situation where his head is in one domain and his body is in another domain, that isn't considered that he's going from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. The stomach of a person doesn't make it to be an Akira and Anochim. V'ten, the Brice ends with the words, V'kein Begas. And we'll discuss what does the Brisa want to teach us with the words V'kein Begas. But first ask the Gemara, Karmelus Mai, what's the halacha? Are you allowed to stand in a karmelus and drink in a Rishus HaYochid, drink in a Rishus HaRabim, vice versa? Omer Abaya, hehe. The halacha is, it's all the same. Karmelus has the same halacha that you should only drink in a karmelus if most of your body is in the karmelus. Omer Rava, to which Rava comments, he gufa gzeira. As we learned earlier in the Masechta on Daf Vav, the entire Rishus that's known as a karmelus is only midrabanan. And now we're going to make another gzeiris. V'nan nekev v'nigza gzeir l'gzeira. That's already too far. We know throughout Shas that even though Chazal make gzeiris, they don't make gzeiris to protect their gzeiris. What's the reason? Because Rashi Masechta Bei explains, the basis why Chazal are allowed to make gzeiris is because the Pasuk says, v'shomru ez mishmarti. teaches us the Gemara, Masechta Ma'akot, Masechta Yevamos, Asu Mishmeris L'Mishmarti. To what I said, you should make Gezeiris. But not Mishmeris L'Mishmeris. Don't make Gezeiris to what was said by Chazal. Abaya clearly disagreed. And Abaya said, V'kein L'Gas, that Abaya said that even in a Karmelis, if one wants to drink in the Karmelis, he has to make sure that most of his body is in the Karmelis. Om Rabbi Menor Aminala, from where do I take this Halacha D'Ktani? Because the Braisa that we just spoke about, V'chein B'Gas, Astemar my Gas, what is the Gas? Irishus HaYochid, if it's talking that the Gas is Rishus HaYochid, and we're saying that if you're drinking in the Rishus HaYochid, make sure that most of your body is in the Rishus HaYochid. So Tanina, the Braisa already said that Halacha explicitly. If the gas is a Rishus Rabbim, then also Tanina. It must be that the Brice is coming to teach us about a Karmelis. So, as the Rishonim, that we've learned, we mentioned this more than once in our Shiurim, that ain't Karmelis Bekalim, that a Keli cannot become a Karmelis. So how could a gas, how could a wine press be a Karmelis if ain't Karmelis Bekalim? So the Rishonim answer that since the gas is attached to the ground, anything that's attached to the ground is not considered a keli. Tosfos says even if it isn't attached to the ground, but if it's a very large keli, that's not considered a keli, that can't be a karmelis. Rav Amar, but Rav disagreed with Abaya. And Rav said that this halacha, that you can't drink unless most of your body is in that rishus, does not apply by Karmelis, because it's a gzera. So now, how does Rava explain the words v'chein begas? So he explains it, says le'in yamaisim. And we'll say a word of agdoma, an introduction. Fruit that grows in Atzisrael are not mechuyiv in shumas and maisris unless two conditions are met. They're gmar malacha, they're ready for eating, they've been completely processed, and they're in the house. So the halacha is that if you have a fruit that did not just had gemar malacha, you could eat it b'achilas arai, not a full-fledged meal, even though you didn't take off maaser. Midrabbanan, midraisa, you should be allowed to eat the food in any fashion. The Rabbanan said if you eat it with a kvius, you may not. If you eat it derech arai, it's mutter. Says Rava, that's what the braisa meant. Rava says the braisa meant in your maaser. The Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah Masechta Maisus, Shoysen al Gas, if you have wine by the wine press from which Maiser has not been removed, you're allowed to drink it. Bein al Cham and Bein al Tzoynen, in those days, wine was diluted, and it doesn't make a difference if it was diluted with warm water or with cold water, or potter, you could drink it if you're not drinking it in a permanent fashion, you're just drinking by the wine press. Divrei Meyim. Rabbi Elazar of Tzadik Mechayiv. The fact that you diluted the wine, says Rabbi Elazar of Tzadik, shows that this drinking is a kvias. The Chamamim, Alacham and Chayiv, if it was diluted with warm water, so you're not going to pour that wine back into the wine press, that's why you're not allowed to drink it if Meiser wasn't removed. But if it was diluted with cold water, then it will be allowed to be, then that's considered aroy and you're allowed to do it. So, what does that have to do with Shabbos? So, the Rosh explains that just like Shabbos, the concern is, where will I drink it? How am I drinking it? So too is the concern regarding Maisim. So, we learned a machloikus Abai and Rava, if Chazal make Gzeiris, l'Gzeiris. Ask the Gemara. Tanah, we learned in a Mishnah. Lo yetzach chayt b'machtoi, samach l'chsheicha. We don't let the tailor walk out with his needle right before Shabbos, for we are concerned, shem yishkach v'yetzay. He may have forgot that he's carrying and go out after night into Rishus HaRabim. My love, the tchuvah lo yibegdoi. Aren't we referring to a situation where the needle is stuck in his garment? And if we're discussing that it's stuck in his garment, then it's not an Issa deraisa. So why wouldn't that be a gzera l'gzera? Loi. Answers the Gemara, it's talking about the nakla biyada. He's carrying it. When you're actually carrying it, then of course it's a deraisa, and we could understand why the Mishnah would make zeirus for such a situation. Tashma, but doesn't the braisa say lo yotze hachayit b'machdoi tchuvala b'bigdoi? A tailor may not go out with a needle that's pinned to his garment. Comments the Gemara, my love, isn't this braisa referring to a situation where it's Erev Shabbos? So we see that even though it's Erev Shabbos, and even though it's, as we're learning now, Gzeira, it's still Asur. Says the Gemara, Loi, that braisa is talking about Shabbos. So on Shabbos, it's Asur to walk out that way, for even if it's not an Issa deraisa to walk out with your needle pinned to your garment, it's an Issa derabbanan that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. But now the Gemara says, listen to this braisa. The Tanya, lo yetzah chai b'machta etchuvah b'begdoi b'erev Shabbos im chashecha. So this braisa is very clear that it's discussing that you're not allowed to do it on Friday afternoon. But didn't Rava say that we don't make zeru l'gzeris? Answers the Gemara, ha'mani Rabbi Yehudi. Who's the Tana of this braisa? It reflects the opinion of Yehuda. Dama umen derechum nosachayiv. He says that somebody who works in a profession and he always carries out his tools in a certain way, that's called a situation of Hotzah Deraisa. The Tanya, as we learn in Braisa, a tailor may not walk out with a needle pinned to his garment. The carpenters work with rulers, so they used to put the ruler on his ear. A person who fills garments with stuffing, they used to have combs. So he's not allowed to have the cone or the different material on his ear. Again, like that, everybody knew that's his profession. And that's where it's convenient to carry these utensils, these equipment. A weaver is not allowed to go out with his utensil, with his tools. The painters used to wear swatches around their neck for people to be able to pick a color. A person who's in the money changing business may not go out with a coin on his ear. But if he did walk out this way, since he didn't explicitly carry it, it's patal avasar. Divrei Rameyer. If this is the way a person always walks out wearing with these tools, it's chayiv. He's chayiv b'deraisa. Shakal adam that don't normally carry that way a potter. So our Mishnah that teaches us the lo yetzah chayiv b'machta b'erev Shabbos, even if we'll say it's b'machta tchuvah b'bagdoi, is following the opinion of Yehuda, where there would be an issa deraisa, and because it's an issa deraisa, we have to be machmer and not let him walk out that way before Shabbos to avoid him being over an issa deraisa. Says the Gemara, Tani chada lo yetzah azab b'kisoi. Azob may now walk out on Shabbos with his pouch that catches his emissions. Then yotze pata avalosu. But ask the Gemara Tanita. But there's a different brisa that says lo yetze, he shouldn't go out that way. And if he did go out, then yotze chayiv chatas. Answers the Gemara Amar Rabbi Yosef loikasha. Harameya, the brisa that says it's only pata avalosu reflects the opinion of Rameya. Harab Yehuda, that as we saw that he was machmer on these different people with their equipment, will also be machmer on the zav with his pouch. Amal Abaya, Eimei d'shamlei Rameya. When Rameya say that we could be lenient and say it's not a deraisa of hotzah, b'mida d'lav hayne urche, that that's not the normal way for carrying. However, b'mida d'hayne urche, if you're wearing this pouch, that's what a zav wears. Mishamlei, why would Rameya be lenient? D'loy temahachi el me'ato. If a person who's not a professional carpenter made a hole in a log, even though that's not the regular way of doing it, you wouldn't take an amateur, doesn't make a difference. He did a malacha. Similarly, this is the normal way of wearing this pouch. So why would Rameya say you're not chayiv? Ela amrav hamnuna, loy kasha. Kam b'zov b'shtei reyes. We know what halacha is, that if a Zov has three emissions, if he has two emissions, he has to wait Zayin Nekiyim. If he has three emissions, he has to wait Zayin Nekiyim and also bring a carbon. So the Zov who had two emissions needs to wear the pouch to determine if he's going to have another emission and have to bring a carbon. Kamazal Bashtei Reis, that's going to have to bring the carbon anyway. Answers the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Mashna Zobashtei Reis the Chayif, why is the person that had two emissions chayif for wearing the pouch? Because there's a purpose in wearing the couch. The Moilei Bdika, to know if he's going to have a third discharge and have to bring a carbon. Zobash Shalosh Nami, even if he has three emissions and he knows he's going to have to bring a carbon, but he's wearing the pouch, the Moilei Lesfira, to know that if this day could be in the Zayin Nekiim. Answers the Gemara, in the Tzchaela by Biyoyim. He already had an emission that day. Since he had an emission that day, he's not, that day can't be one of the Zayin Nekiim. So he's not really accomplishing much with wearing the pouch. It doesn't really accomplish anything. And that's why he would not be chayiv for wearing the pouch, at least at this point of the Gemara.